This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the Strong Method builds the pre-conversation state you need before addressing someone's toxic traits. 6 steps that put you in control before the hardest conversation you'll have. In short, the Strong Method gives you a 6-step pre-conversation ritual so you enter a toxic traits conversation with clarity, composure, and a real plan. Prepare your intention and your specific behavioural examples before you say a word. Regulate your anxiety so it works for you, not against you. Know the outcome you want and how you will invite the other person to commit to it. Definition: a toxic traits conversation is a direct, intentional discussion with someone whose repeated behavioural patterns are causing harm to others. It requires specific preparation because the emotional stakes are high. The other person is likely to be defensive, and a poorly handled exchange can make the situation worse. A manager I know spent 3 weeks building up the courage to speak with a team member whose undermining behaviour was quietly poisoning the group. When the moment finally came, she walked in without a plan, let her frustration lead, and the conversation collapsed inside 4 minutes. The team member denied everything. She left the room shaken, and the toxic trait she had hoped to address continued unchecked for another 2 months. She had not failed for lack of courage. She had failed for lack of preparation. Addressing toxic traits in another person is among the most demanding things you will do in any professional setting. The behavior is often entrenched. The person may not see it. Your own emotions are almost certainly involved, and the cost of getting it wrong, whether through aggression, vagueness, or pure emotional flooding, is real. What you need before you walk into that room is not just nerve. You need a pre-conversation state, a clear mind, a regulated body, specific evidence, and a concrete direction. In Say It Right Every Time, I call the process that builds that state the Strong Method. Chapter 3 covers it in full. This article teaches you how to use it before a toxic traits conversation specifically. Why addressing toxic traits is different from other hard conversations. Most difficult conversations are hard because the topic is sensitive or the stakes are high. A toxic traits conversation carries both of those, and it adds something else. You're not addressing a single incident. You are addressing a pattern. That pattern has likely been building for weeks or months. You have probably been tolerating it, minimizing it, or hoping it would stop on its own. By the time you decide to speak, the emotional accumulation is significant. You may be carrying frustration, resentment, or genuine hurt. The person you're about to speak with almost certainly has no idea you feel this way, or they have convinced themselves that their behavior is justified. That gap between your experience and theirs is where conversations fall apart. There's also the problem of passive-aggressive behavior and other forms of toxic conduct that are deliberately ambiguous. The person can always say you misread them. Without specific behavioral examples ready, you're walking into that denial unarmed. Finally, there's what I describe in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time as the amygdala hide at the moment your brain perceives social threat and floods you with the same response it uses for physical danger. Toxic traits conversations are prime territory for this. Your voice tightens, your thinking narrows, and the careful words you rehearsed vanish. Preparation is the only reliable counter to that hijack. What has to be true before you begin? The Strong Method is a preparation ritual, not a repair kit for a conversation already in progress. For it to work, 2 things must be in place first. First, you must be clear that this is a pattern, not an isolated incident. Addressing toxic traits based on one bad day is almost always a mistake. You need at least 2 or 3 clear, observable instances before this conversation is warranted. If you're not sure yet, your job is to document, not confront. Second, you must have a genuine outcome in mind, not just a need to vent. Many people enter these conversations wanting the other person to finally understand how they have made everyone feel. That is a release, not a goal. The goal must be behavioural. What specific change in conduct do you need to see? Know this before you begin the method. The Strong Method. 6 steps to the right pre-conversation state. This is the framework I outline in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time. Each letter stands for a step in the pre-conversation ritual. Work through them in order, ideally at least an hour before the conversation takes place. Step 1. State your intention. Write down, in one sentence, what you want this conversation to accomplish, not what you want to say. What you want to achieve. This is harder than it sounds. Most people, when pressed, find that their real intention is to make the other person feel accountable, which is an emotion, not an outcome.
Your intention should name a behavioural result. I want to reach a clear agreement that the sarcastic remarks in team meetings will stop.
That sentence is your anchor. Every time the conversation pulls you off course, you return to it.
A useful test if the other person agreed to everything you were planning to say, would the toxic traits actually stop? If the answer is no, your intention is not clear enough yet.
Step 2. Take a breath, name the anxiety. Conversation anxiety before a toxic traits discussion is not a weakness. In Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, I make the case that anxiety before a hard conversation is a green light, not a stop signal. It means you understand the stakes.
The problem is not the anxiety. It is what you do with it.
The technique here is to name it specifically.
There is a difference between anticipatory anxiety, the dread you feel before the conversation, and performance anxiety, the spike that hits when you are in the room.
Most people conflate them and treat both as reasons to delay. Try what I call the conversation pre-mortem. Write down the three worst things that could happen in this exchange. Then ask yourself honestly how likely is each one.
What would you do if it occurred?
This exercise does not eliminate anxiety.
It contains it. You have looked at the worst case and found that you can handle it.
One physical technique worth adding before you enter the room: stand with your feet shoulder-width apart, shoulders back, chin level, and breathe slowly for 30 seconds.
The physiological shift is real, and it is immediate.
Your nonverbal confidence signals to your own nervous system that you are steady.
Step 3. Respect all perspectives.
This step is the one most people skip, and it is the one that most often determines whether the conversation repairs something or destroys it.
Respecting all perspectives does not mean agreeing with the toxic behavior.
It means genuinely asking yourself, why might this person behave this way? What pressures, fears, or blind spots might be driving the pattern?
You may not find a satisfying answer,
but the act of asking shifts your internal state from prosecutor to problem solver. When you enter a toxic traits conversation with contempt, even a carefully hidden contempt, the other person feels it.
Contempt produces defensiveness, and defensiveness produces denial.
You can agree with the person's right to exist while still holding firm on the behavior that needs to change.
Those two things are not in conflict.
This step also connects directly to building synergy through every conversation. You cannot repair a relationship or redirect behavior without first treating the other person as someone capable of change.
Step 4.
Offer specific behavioral examples.
Prepare 2 or 3 concrete examples of the toxic behavior.
Not impressions, not general complaints, not the accumulated frustration of months.
Specific, observable, behavioral instances. Here is the difference.
Vague.
You have a habit of undermining my decisions in front of the team.
Specific. On Tuesday's project call, after I outlined the timeline, you said to the group, well, we all know how these timelines usually go.
3 people laughed. The conversation shifted away from the plan.
The second version is nearly impossible to dismiss.
It names what happened, when to whom, and what the effect was.
This is what I mean when I say that preparing individual team members for critical conversations requires concrete evidence, not emotional summaries.
Prepare your examples in writing.
Do not rely on memory in the moment. The amygdala hijack will strip your recall of detail precisely when you need it most.
Step 5. Navigate to solutions. Before the conversation, decide what a good outcome actually looks like in practice.
This is your solution path.
You are not going in to punish, you are going in to change a pattern. What specific behavior do you need to see instead?
Think through at least 2 possible resolutions so you're not locked into a single demand. One might be ideal, another might be workable.
Having both prepared means you can navigate rather than simply push.
Also prepare for the most likely objection denial. If the person says I never do that or you're reading too much into it, your response should be calm and direct. I understand that's not how you saw it.
Here's specifically what I observed, and here's the impact it had. Then return to your example.
No heat, no escalation. This connects directly to the framework in scripts for addressing team members who undermine group synergy, where you will find language that navigates denial without confrontation.
Step 6.
Gain commitment to action. The final step of your preparation is deciding how you will close the conversation.
A toxic traits conversation that ends without a clear, stated commitment has accomplished very little. Behavior does not change because you named it. It changes because a person has said, out loud, what they will do differently. Prepare a closing question, something direct and clean. Can we agree that going forward, if you have concerns about a decision I've made, you'll raise them with me directly before the team meeting? That is specific, behavioural, and answerable with a yes. Write the question down. Know it. When the conversation reaches its natural end, ask it clearly and wait for the response. Do not accept a vague "I'll try to be more aware." A specific behavioural commitment is what you are after. If they decline to commit, that is also important information, and it tells you what the next step needs to be. When the conversation is remote or asynchronous. Remote toxic traits conversations require one significant adjustment to the method. You cannot read the room, and they cannot read yours. The absence of physical presence strips away most of the non-verbal signals that help both parties regulate during a hard exchange. The most important adaptation is to the state your intention step. Rather than arriving at the conversation without warning, send a brief, neutral message in advance. Something like, I'd like to schedule 30 minutes to talk through something I've been observing. It's important, and I want to make sure we have focused time for it. This gives the other person time to prepare mentally and reduces the ambush effect that makes toxic traits conversations on video calls particularly volatile. Keep your camera on. Ask them to keep theirs on too. You need to see each other's faces to read the conversation accurately. Eye contact through a camera is not the same as in-person connection, but it is far better than voices on a screen. For teams spread across time zones, consider how to start a difficult conversation effectively before you book the call. The opening of a remote toxic traits conversation needs more deliberate framing than an in-person one. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when they try this. Even with a solid method, there are patterns I see repeatedly that undermine the work. The mistake, going in too soon, while still emotionally hot. Why it happens, the behaviour triggered you, and the urge to address it immediately feels like courage. It is not. It is reactivity. What to do instead? Run the full strong sequence at least an hour before the conversation. If anger is still high after that, wait another day. The mistake. Using vague or emotional language instead of behavioural examples. Why it happens. The emotional experience feels more real than the specific incident. So you lead with how you felt rather than what happened. What to do instead. Write your two or three examples in behavioural, observable language before the conversation. If you cannot describe what actually happened, you're not ready. The mistake. Listing multiple toxic traits in one conversation. Why it happens. You've been holding back for months, and once the door opens, everything comes out. What to do instead? Choose the one behavior with the clearest evidence and the most direct impact. Address one pattern well. Address five patterns badly. The second approach never changes anything. The mistake. Ending without a commitment. Why it happens. Once the hardest part is said, the relief is so great that you close without asking for the specific change. What to do instead? Prepare your closing question in advance. Write it in the gain commitment step of your preparation. Say it regardless of how the conversation went. If you want a model for recovering from a steps mid-conversation, the three-step process I teach and Say It Right Every Time applies directly. Acknowledge what went off track, correct course with a simple restatement, and move on without dwelling on the stumble. The ability to recover gracefully from a moment of clumsiness is often more powerful than never stumbling at all. For broader feedback situations that share these same dynamics, how to use the strong method before a high-stakes feedback conversation extends the framework further. Your pre-conversation preparation checklist. Run through this before every toxic traits conversation. It takes 10 minutes. It is worth every one of them. Number 1. Intention written. I have a single sentence describing the behavioural change I need to see. Number 2. Pattern confirmed. I have at least two or three specific instances. Not one bad day. Number 3. Anxiety examined. I have run a brief pre-mortem and know what I will do if the worst case scenarios occur. Number 4. Posture practiced. I have taken 2 minutes to stand in a grounded, open posture and regulate my breathing. Number 5. Perspectives considered. I have genuinely asked why this person might behave this way, and I am entering the conversation as a problem solver, not a prosecutor. Number 6. Examples prepared. I have 2 or 3 behavioral, dated, observable examples written down and ready. Number 7. Solution path clear. I know what a good outcome looks like and have 2 possible resolutions in mind. Number 8. Closing question ready. I have a specific behavioral commitment question prepared and I know I will ask it. For conversations involving feedback dynamics, pair this with the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback to strengthen the respect all perspectives step. The ground you stand on. Here is the truth of it. The conversation itself is not where most toxic traits exchanges are won or lost. They're won or lost in the 10 minutes before you enter the room. The strong method does not make the conversation easy. Nothing does. But it gives you a solid foundation to stand on when the exchange gets uncomfortable, when the person pushes back, when your voice wants to tighten and your thinking wants to narrow. You have your intention. You have your examples. You have your closing question. You know why you are there and what you are asking for. Confidence is not a magical feeling that descends upon you. I wrote and say it right every time. It is the direct result of strategic preparation. That is as true for a toxic trait conversation as for any other. Prepare the ground thoroughly and you will find that you can hold it. Frequently asked questions. What is a toxic traits conversation and why is it so hard? A toxic traits conversation is a direct, structured discussion with someone whose repeated behavior is harmful to others. It is hard because you must stay clear and composed while addressing patterns that often trigger defensiveness, denial, or retaliation. Preparation is what makes it possible. How does the strong method help before addressing toxic behavior? The strong method is a 6-step pre-conversation ritual that sets your intention, regulates your anxiety, builds empathy, sharpens your examples, plans a solution path, and prepares you to gain commitment. It replaces reactive emotion with deliberate preparation before any difficult exchange. What should I do if I feel too angry to have the conversation? That anger is a signal, not a green light. Run the strong method before you approach anyone. The take a breath and respect all perspectives steps specifically exist to move you from reactive to regulated. If anger remains high, delay the conversation by 1 day. How specific do my examples of toxic behavior need to be? Very specific. Vague complaints like "you always undermine me" are easy to dismiss. You need dated, behavioral, observable examples: what was said, to whom, and what happened as a result. 1 or 2 strong, specific examples carry far more weight than a list of general grievances. Does the strong method work for remote or distributed teams? Yes, with one adjustment. Remote toxic traits conversations carry greater risk of misreading tone, so the state your intention step becomes even more important. Send a brief, neutral message in advance so the person knows a conversation is coming and can prepare themselves mentally. What if the person denies their toxic behavior during the conversation? Denial is one of the most common responses to having toxic traits named directly. Your preparation is your anchor. Return to your specific behavioral examples calmly. You are not there to win an argument. You are there to name the behavior, describe its impact, and invite a path forward. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.